Good morning, Texas. Even though yesterday's program I did state that we were going to look at the benefits of following the risen Savior by looking to Paul, etc., and we will, but you know, I'm gonna veer away just a little bit for the next couple of programs here. Let's look at Israel. I mean, Israel is in the news every day lately, and they're just at war, it seems like, and they're going after the Hamas, you know, and Palestinians and all this stuff. And there's a lot of hatred building for Israel. Instead of the people who attack Israel, Israel fights back and protects itself. It has always been hated by more and more people every time the events take place. So, you know, I was thinking, Paul's books, Paul's writings, update us very strong on Israel. There are enough people in this country that really, in this world actually, but even more and more in this country, that hate Israel. They think this whole battle down there is Israel's fault. Then we've got those Christians that grab the covenant, the new covenant teachings, and apply that to themselves today, which is just nothing but Old Testament law, New Testament law, everything being put into law still, it seems like. We can talk about that another day. Then you've got those people who believe that God is done with Israel. These are the Christians, of course, I'm speaking of. They just convinced that God is done with Israel. They had their chance, and they blew it, and so God is done with them. Then you've got those Christians who believe that the physical blessings will come upon America because we take care of Israel, and et cetera, et cetera. So we've got a real mess about Israel. So I'm thinking, you know, with all the news the way it is lately, and for those of you listeners out there that maybe haven't thought much about it, maybe you're a covenant person. Maybe you're you hate Israel. Maybe you think this whole thing is Israel's fault. Maybe you think that, you know, the more we bless Israel, the more we're going to be blessed back. And when every time we do anything against Israel, then something happens to us, God's judgment is put on America, blah, blah, blah. You know, there are those people that say, well, here, let's go back and let's look at some specific events that took place when we rejected Israel in some form or another. Look at the thing that's happened to America. Okay, you know, fine, whatever you want to say. But the physical blessing is not what the blessing of Abraham is all about. So, let's look at the Jews. Let's look at Israel and just see what the King James Bible says. I'm sure it's the only Bible that states what it states. And I do know that the NIV and some of these other newer Bibles, some of the things that the King James Bible say about Israel are just the opposite in a modern Bible. Now, how can a Bible who's been around for 400 years suddenly not only be so wrong, but be opposite of what it had taught for 400 years? There's just something wrong here. I'm just sticking to the King James Bible. The understanding has been spectacular, and it's not complicated, and it's not difficult. So let's look to Israel in the King James Bible. First of all, let's look at Genesis chapter 12. Let's get this thing started here a little bit. Let's find out why things are such a mess in Israel. I mean, they've been attacked and hated since anybody here has been alive, since we've been alive, since I've been alive, since people before me have been alive, since Israel was created as a nation. They've been hated. Why is that? Well, here, let's go to Genesis chapter 12, and let's look at verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Well, now, there you go. That's a fantastic promise. But there's more now. There's more to realize here. See, if we don't get this thing figured out and understand this thing truthfully, our thoughts need to be fixed concerning Israel. You read the news today, let's put some truth into our thoughts and put away this evil communication, this news media, that seems to be making Israel look like the bad guy here. Then you can find out from looking at a King James Bible, where's God at with all this? I mean, these are his people. Or has he forgotten them? Or does he not understand what's going on? You know, what's God's awareness of the Jews today, of Israel? And then what's probably most important here is if we have an understanding about Israel, that we will be protected from being conceited, as is a warning in Romans 11, and to be protected by following the teachings of the Antichrist into a false Christianity as he's making his preparations to come down and take over Revelation chapter 6, not Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19 is the real Savior coming back. Revelation 6 is the Antichrist. So everything that's going on today has to prepare people for a couple of things. It has to prepare for the potential destruction of Israel, and it has to prepare for the potential arriving of the Antichrist with a religion. Now notice, he is the Antichrist. He's not an anti-Muhammad. He's not an anti-Brigham Young. He's an Antichrist. So he's got to still, this all has to be dealing with Christ. So let's look at this Israel thing. We see where they got started, but here's the major issue. Here's the major issue. Thank you, King James Bible. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Rightly Dividing. Thank you, Spirit of God, for showing us these things. And thank you, God, for your goodness that you've given us a book that explains this whole thing so we know how to deal with all this, quote, Israeli conflict, unquote, stuff. Okay, now we go to Genesis 16. This will answer the question, why can't people get along with Israel? I mean, it looks like their own people. You got the Palestinians, you got Hamas. I don't even understand all that because I don't pay attention to it. I see what's going on. How can you help it? But I know that the support for Israel in America is waning. I think that's the correct word. It's falling away anyway. What's going on here? Should we even be over there messing with all this stuff as Americans? Well, let's look at this thing. Chapter 16 is where we need to go to. Genesis chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Now there's another husband who listens. Anyway, don't go there. Okay, leave it alone. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, which is exactly what his wife told him to do. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Well, there's a change of events there, change of perception. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. What a TV program that would make, wouldn't it? And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. Really? That's what he said. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Now here's what's going on. This is the Arabs. This is the crowd that is against Israel. This is where they come from. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Now that's where is, and we know the rest of their story, Abraham, you know, Isaac, and da-da-da-da. But this is where the Arab conflict began, with Ishmael. He's a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall yet, and yet he still, it says here, he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. So he's still part of the Israel crowd, but he's against it. Okay, now there's the source of the Arab conflict, as they call it today. That was simple. I know. Isn't it simple? Very simple. Okay, so now let's go to Galatians chapter 3. People have a false opinion or a false teaching or whatever you call it, a false thought on the bless Israel, they'll bless America. America's been blessed because of Israel, etc., etc. Now, we'll get to Romans 9 and Romans 11 in a minute, and that will explain exactly where Israel stands in God's eyes, where they should stand in our eyes, and the situation for today. But let's jump to Galatians 3 just for a minute here. Let's look at verse 6. Because we're talking about the blessing of Abraham. People call it pretty much the blessing of Israel, but they leave out that word. It was Abraham is what the thing is all about. So verse 6. Even as Abram, chapter 3, verse 6, even as Abram believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now what we see here is we see we're in the New Testament now with after the death of the testator, right? The New Testament, Paul's teachings from the risen Savior, and there he's talking about faith. And that's the Gentiles. That's us. That's not the Jews. Okay? So when we say, now know ye therefore that they which are of faith, that's the Gentiles, the same are the children of Abraham. Really? And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, now remember, in the Old Testament, the heathen were the Gentiles. Keep in mind, there's a huge difference between the Jews in the Old Testament and the Gentiles. Gentiles were heathen, not even considered a people. So all the stuff that we read, the law, the Ten Commandments, those were all given to the Jews, not to the heathen. They knew nothing about this stuff. So now the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, that's the Gentiles, that's us, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So this blessing is through Abraham, is through the faith that he put forth, was accounted to him for righteousness. That's what the blessing will be to the Gentiles. It's not a physical blessing response. It's this whole spiritual blessing thing. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. We've talked about that a number of times. Not his faith, as in Habakkuk. We're looking at the faith in Jesus Christ, which gives us the faith of Jesus Christ. That's the faith that our faith is counted for righteousness. We go to Romans chapter, we'll be back here to Galatians in a minute. Go to Romans chapter 4, and we see in verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So what God told Abraham to do, he did, but he did it because he believed, and that faith was counted for his righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Then we see phrases like righteousness of faith. Verse 15, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Remember Romans chapter 10, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Verse 16, Romans 4:16, therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So see, this is a total issue between Jews and the Gentiles. Now what happens here when people understand, well, see that Abraham is my father, so they go to the Gospels to follow Jesus' teaching to the Jews because they figure, well, if Jesus taught this doctrine to the Jews, and now that I am a spiritual Jew, I should follow what Jesus taught to the Jews. I've had many people tell me that. And I just look at them and go, how do you come up with that? You are ignoring the rest of the Bible from Acts chapter 9 all the way through to Philemon, about Paul and the risen Savior, the teachings of the risen Savior. Yes, we're spiritual Jews, but let's follow the risen Christ and his teachings through Paul, King James Bible, rightly divided, to recognize them. Now, if we go down to verse 20, Romans chapter 4, verse 20, he, meaning Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So he did what he did. He went on to a different land and he started the whole Jewish crowd, the nation of Israel. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And even came up with a kid. Anyway. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now here's a great verse. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. See, the Jews had to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Gentiles, we believe that Jesus is the risen Savior. He rose from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, maybe I should explain the word impute. Maybe that'll help a little bit, too. And then we'll go back to Galatians 3. Impute is to lay charge to. It's like when you go to a mall, I'll use this for ladies' illustration, you go to the mall and the husband gives you a credit card and it's in his name and you buy anything you want but you don't have to pay for it, it doesn't go on your record, it'll go on his. Wouldn't you just have a party? Of course, maybe some of you ladies already do that, I don't know. But that's imputation. Christ, God imputes his righteousness to our record. And because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, when we do something wrong, which is normally called a sin, it's not imputed. It's not charged onto our account. That's what he went to hell for. He paid for our sins. So any sins that we do are not considered sins. This is crazy. No, this is marvelously simple. What they're considered is works. And those things that we do, whether good or bad, will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But we ourselves will not be judged. So what is this? This is the goodness of God. I mean, this is so simple. I'm probably making it more complicated by how I'm explaining it, but I don't know how else. I'm just reading the scriptures and I'm trying to point these things out. This is the goodness of God to the Gentiles. It's the Gentiles who only receive the goodness of God. Really? Well, yeah. Let's look at Romans chapter 11. Verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, that's to the Jews, that's the Jewish nation, we will see as we go through Romans 11 tomorrow. On them which fell severity, but toward thee, he's not talking about me personally, he's talking about me as a Gentile nation, the Gentiles, which you'll see when you read the whole chapter, verse 11, for example. But toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And when the Gentiles are cut off, thus begins the tribulation. What cuts off the Gentiles? God has done to them. He wraps them out of what are left. He raptures them out of here, meets him up in the sky, and on comes the tribulation, which is a different salvation, different doctrine again. And what we have today, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, teenagers, young people, old people, aged people, we have in our churches, everybody just seems to be ignoring Paul's teachings, except for a couple of verses here and there. They're not rightly dividing. The Bible calls that profane and vain babblings, which leads everyone to ungodliness. We should be able to understand the blessing from Abraham is the fact that our faith is counted for righteousness, not the fact that our nation gives Israel a bunch of money, sells them the jets. So when we turn away from Israel, America gets kiblotched by some storm or something takes place, you know, a shooting or something. You know, they'll find something they can blame it on the move to Israel. So let's go back to Galatians 3 and kind of finish it up for this morning here a little bit. And we will continue on tomorrow with some more simplicity in Christ about Israel. So let's go back to Galatians chapter 3. Let's go up to verse 7 again. I hope you understand now that we're talking about the Gentiles. It's the goodness of God that he gives us all this grace and mercy. It's the dispensation of grace. Paul is the one that we are to follow as he follows Christ, which is the risen Savior. You should say that a lot. That's the crux of the whole thing. Once you get to grasp on the fact that Paul is the apostle we're to look to, not the 12, the teachings from Jesus are the ones that he taught after he died and rose again. And that's in your Bible, through Paul's books. Again, that Bible is in dispensational order, not chronologically. I mean, Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1st, 2nd Peter, Jude, those were all written before, you know, it was all written during the times of the Gospels, but God made sure that they were put at the end of your King James Bible because those are geared to the tribulational people. Really? Yes, it's so simple. Anyway, goodness of God, Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham, okay, because we're doing the same thing he did, and the scripture, foreseeing, which is fantastic thought, scripture, I have the scriptures, these scriptures know what's coming, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, and who's the scripture? Christ is the scripture. His name is the Word of God in Revelation 19. Oh, I could bunny trail so much. Anyway, verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, heathen being Gentiles, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Spiritual blessings, not physical. Read on. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. I mean, if they want to follow the law, they got to follow it exactly. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now remember, Habakkuk, Old Testament, says the just shall live by his faith, meaning their own faith. No, the just shall live by faith today. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. That's the law. You know, if you want to follow the law, go for it, but you got to live it exactly. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing, here's the verse. Ladies and gentlemen, I should say that, I guess. Here's the verse. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's the blessing that we receive. Not if we give them money and jets, God will bless America. That's just Old Testament stuff. It's Old Testament stuff. So now let's turn to Acts chapter 7. Let me show you a couple of verses that tell us that God always did everything to his people first, to the Jews first. They were still his people. Now, let's look at chapter 7, verse 37. This was the chapter where this is what Stephen preached, and he was eventually stoned to death because of what he said here. And he's just telling his people, the Jews, in verse 37, this is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spoke to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us. And then Stephen goes on and says, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turn back again into Egypt. So, you know, Israel had their chance. God gave them their manna, just like Moses. And it's always to his people first. He gives them that opportunity. Now, Romans chapter 3, go to Romans chapter 3, a very simple verse here. It says here, Romans chapter 3, verse 2, let's go to verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Remember, the Gentiles were called the uncircumcision. The Jews were the circumcision. The other circumcision we talk about is a spiritual circumcision, Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 and 16. You know, I don't think I said that right. Colossians chapter 2, yes, okay. So, what advantage then hath the Jew? What profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, Paul says. Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. I mean, what God has to say, he's always said it to the Jew first. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? There's that faith of God again, see? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. In other words, we've got the scriptures. These scriptures, most of this book, are to the Jews. But the books from Paul that he wrote, Romans to Philemon, are written to the Gentiles and not to the Jews. Seriously? The Jews have no clue. Why is that? Well, we'll read that tomorrow, in the program tomorrow. But this verse, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, that's a lot of people's bumper sticker. But you forget the rest of that verse. It's a fantastic verse. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Let God be true. We're liars. Every man's a liar. We just don't say things like we should. We don't tell the truth all the time. But because we want to believe what is true, we want to believe what God said, let God be true, then we would be justified in what we say, in our belief, in our teachings, and might as overcome and now we're judged. People will judge us and harass us and challenge us. You Christians, you're crazy. This Paul stuff, you're mad. No, God be true. These scriptures, King James Bible, God promised to preserve his words. Promised. So let God be true. Because we have his scriptures today, we are justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. People can tell us what they want, but we know this to be true, based on scriptures, written, you know, inspired, preserved, etc., etc. So, now that we understand, I hope we understand or have an understanding about this whole Israel-Arab conflict, where Ishmael fits in here, and the Arabs. Let's find out tomorrow what God says about his people to this day. And if we put this all together into an understanding that we will know really what's going on, we read the paper, first of all, we know that the media is not telling us the truth anyway, but we understand this conflict. We know where this is headed. And if we don't, then you're just being set up for the coming of the Antichrist with this modern false Christianity, where everybody's going to be against Israel. And let's find out tomorrow's program what God says about his people today.